Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cryptids, Killers, and everything in between. We're going to continue with Creep Week. That's what I'm calling it.
Creep Week.
Creep Week, yeah. Not because I'm a creep. You're a creep. I'm not a creep.
Wow, thanks.
But we're going to call it Creep Week because it is the month of Halloween.
So what's next week?
I don't know. I haven't thought of that yet. I just thought of Creep Week right now.
So this is our...
I warned them of my wit.
That's true. So this week will be like the killers and
creepy it'd be people. The creep week.
That's ghosts.
Ghosts are creepy.
Yeah, I guess so. But
creepy week didn't fit. Creep, just creep week. Creep week. If you say it a lot, that it doesn't sound scary anymore.
It doesn't.
Sounds like I have a speech impediment.
It sounds like you're saying one word.
You're one word.
It's actually starting to say like sound like Stewie's Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Yeah.
Cool Whip.
It's starting to sound a little bit like that.
I like the way you say Cool Whip.
He can say it right, separate, but when you put it together.
So what are we talking about? Why don't you quit your tomfoolery? What are we talking about?
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said tomfoolery. It's the Amityville murders and the Villisca Axe House.
So we're not talking about the hauntings. We're just going to talk
about
the crimes.
No, we're doing the crimes first, and then we'll do another podcast on the supposed hauntings of both.
See, I think that's appropriate because it is good to talk about the background first and then talk about the alleged hauntings and what people experience. That way you can relate it back to the crimes and see does it fit.
I would be surprised if they're not actually haunted, because it's kind of messed up.
It is. It is in the movies for both, actually. There's been several about Amityville, and actually there's been one, I believe, about just the crimes.
That was the newest one. The Amityville murders, I think. That's
which I found way more entertaining.
I liked it a lot more than the other ones.
The Villisca one was very good, but it was more based off of the hauntings.
I don't think we've actually watched that.
Yeah, no, we watched it.
Did we?
Yes, we watched it. The quality of the movie wasn't as...
Well, it's a Netflix movie.
Yeah,
it's
but it
like...
was a good movie if you know the background and lore of the story of Villisca.
Well, we've seen quite a few movies that are like the I guess, B-type movies that have actually turned out really good.
Amityville has always fascinated me. Always fascinated me. I always want to go. I want to spend the night in the house. I want to see...
You will be doing that by yourself.
I understand, because it's... creepy.
I'm not. Yeah. I see. I don't think I could spend the night at Myrtle's either. I'd go out there.
That's what we should do. We should do one on Myrtle's.
I would go out there and see it because I've always wanted to go to New Orleans, and I think that's kind of close, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I could stay out there.
Yeah, I got an update for you. I'm talking about Amityville. I didn't want you to get lost.
Like you did numerous times about the no lips.
Yep. New policy. Not getting lost again.
We'll see.
And the lips. That's a new policy I have.
And I'm saying we will see.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But like I said, I ain't getting lost again.
Okay.
But I do want to move on. I do want to get through the Amityville. I do find it very interesting. And I think it's a good... I mean, because really, there's so many questions. I know Villisca, there's a lot more questions. But with Amityville, you know... You think you know who the killer is, but there's so many questions that lend to it couldn't be like how it's being described. It couldn't be just that one.
No, I'll tell you right now, I don't think he did it by himself.
I don't either. I do think he participated.
Oh, yeah. But he has so many stories, which I think I have a couple.
It's a mental illness too, right?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But
I'll let you get into it.
Okay. The Amityville Horror, as it was soon known, became one of the most famous incidents of paranormal activity ever recorded. But like I said, we're not doing the paranormal part of it, but of course, it's going to be mentioned.
Yeah.
At least I tried to keep the paranormal out of this one as much as possible.
Well, I think part of his defense was...
Demons made me do it.
Paranormal, and, you know, just based off of... location of the house, you'll hear a lot about that too, and they try to tie it to a paranormal setting. But
ley lines or something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would inspire a book and successful series of Hollywood films because Why not? The account of the young Lutz family being tormented by demonic pigs, plagues of flies, and green slime oozing from the walls terrified readers and moviegoers, all the more so because it was labeled as a true story. One surprisingly little-known fact about the Amityville Horror is that it was an admitted hoax. So, that's kind of telling you now that when we do the paranormal thing, we'll come back to that. But the Lutz's line, so.
Yeah, not hard to see why when we go over that, but I don't want to get lost in lips and stuff like that, so.
There it is.
We will come back to that when we do the haunting.
Okay. But the paranormal version obscures a very real horror. One far more frightening.
Did you say whore?
Horror.
Whore?
You know what? You need to quit making fun of my slang. I can't help it.
I'm sorry. I thought you
it's
said
there.
I thought
it's you said, been there.
I thought you said whore. I looked around and didn't see anybody. Go ahead.
Not that kind of whore. Not the kind you pay for. See, now you just made me lose. One far more frightening and mysterious than the fanciful tales of poltergeist Hollywood gave the world. Because in the same house, less than 2 years earlier, one of the strangest and most baffling mass murders in recent history occurred. The first sign that something was terribly wrong in this picturesque Suffolk County coastal village of Amityville came at 6:30 p.m. when a frantic local resident named Ronnie Butch DeFeo burst into Henry's bar with a shocking story. "You've got to help me," he yelled. "I think my mother and father are shot." See, at that point, I don't know if he knew about everybody else. Because wouldn't he have said everybody was shot?
Unless he's trying to play the "I don't know what happened" card and just walked in on this.
Or he's the one that killed his mother and father and thought that was it.
Yeah, I mean, and as we talk about these murders, it's kind of odd that nobody else heard gunshots and nobody, you know, I mean, if I'm laying in bed and I hear a gunshot, I'm going to get the fuck out or I'm finding a place to
right.
hide. These people, the way they were found, it's almost like they laid there and let it happen if it was truly just one person.
Well, and I believe that even the neighbors didn't hear anything.
Right.
And then when they tested that gun later, you could hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2 blocks, 3 blocks away.
Right.
It's because they used a shotgun. So you're going to hear that.
Yeah, there's no way to silence a shotgun.
There's not.
A shotgun.
So,
I've tried. I've thought about it. Okay, move on.
Wow, you're just going to leave that hanging there?
Yeah. Wow. Hunting squirrels.
Sure, because that's what one does when hunting squirrels, uses a shotgun. So they disintegrate on impact. Several of the bar's patrons immediately rushed to the house where they were hit with a horrible smell. I'm assuming the smell of blood, right?
Ronnie farted.
You saying he farted as he walked out
yep.
with the dead bodies?
He's
I guess.
Like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm out.
I guess that's one way to hide one.
Yes.
DeFeo's mother and father were both shot in their beds. Worse still, 4 of their children had been slaughtered as well. One of the men, Joe Yeswit, I hope I said that right.
What is it? Let me look at it.
That's what it looks like.
Try it again.
No, because you're going to make fun of me, so we'll just leave it at that. We all know I'm no good with names, so we're just going to let it go.
Yes, what? Here.
That's what I said.
That's there.
Called the Suffolk County Police with the awful news. On their arrival, a search of the house confirmed the worst. Every member of the DeFeo family, save for Butch, were dead. The victims were Ronald DeFeo Sr., 43, Louise DeFeo, 42, and 4 of their children, Don, 18, Allison, 13, Mark, 12, John Matthew, 9.
It is obvious to me that you just read that. Holy Christ, that's a lot of kids. They like to fuck. That's what I got from
They were Catholic.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they were Catholic, so no...
Birth control.
No birth control.
Of any type.
Yeah.
So they like to make them, that's for sure.
Well, if they didn't, they still couldn't, you know. I mean,
well, we know what they were good at.
Yes. Each of them had been shot execution style at close range as they slept, and all six were found laying in their beds face down on their stomachs.
That's the weird part.
Because they're all sleeping on their stomachs. That's weird. That's
the weird part.
And that's why they're trying to say, like, that sleeping position will come up again in the paranormal part of the when we do it.
I think that is significant for what led up to...
Because they say they weren't actually stomach sleepers.
Because as, we'll learn, Ronald DeFeo Sr. was a very, 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 very...
abusive man.
Correct. And his punishments were almost like torture.
Mm-hmm. He was a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean he deserved to be shot twice.
Well, I don't think anybody deserves...
He was a real piece of shit.
That's not true. I mean, maybe he did deserve it. I don't know. Not everybody else, though. What everybody else do. So, anyway.
Well, that's going to be one of the many stories. As the police looked through the house, the lone survivor, Butch DeFeo, cut a forlorn figure outside, refusing to go inside.
So, here's the thing. If you're the only survivor, you are automatically...
Well, you're automatic. Well, I think at first they thought that he might have been in danger, because I don't think they immediately jumped to he did it.
Right.
At first, it was, you know, somebody's coming after this entire family. We need to protect him. But then it...
But I'm not an investigator, but my mind would go there immediately.
Well, now it does. I mean,
because you're the only... Everybody else...
is dead, except for you.
And shot a certain way and made the lay a certain way, but you survived.
Well, I think he was going to say that he wasn't even there, and that's why he survived. That's one of the stories, I think. That he wasn't even home. He was out.
Well, he did say he walked in.
He walked in and found them like that.
And so maybe that's why he said, I think my mom and dad are shot. He didn't check anybody else. He just seen that and said, holy shit.
And ran out of the house.
Okay.
So that's kind of why they were thinking he's in danger. Because he started it off as saying that he wasn't even there. DeFeo mentioned to officers that he felt a mob hitman was responsible for the killings.
This is a damn shame.
What?
I'm looking this up and I have a Lion's Den thing pop up, like an ad. I think we should go to the Lion's Den.
Seriously?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I apologize.
That's in bad taste, too.
It is.
You should
reread that, but Lion's Den is having a sale.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is...
We can get a writing crop. Go ahead.
We already have some.
We do.
DeFeo mentioned to officers that he felt a mob hitman was responsible for the killings, a suggestion taken seriously because of the methodical way the family seemed to have been killed. So already.
I'm thinking back to yesterday.
Oh, geez.
So they heard the chains and the writing crop. Maybe it all went together.
Nobody heard the writing crop. The story was...
We're sorry.
I thought we weren't doing this.
We're not. But we had a question yesterday and it wasn't explained about a podcast where they heard chains and there was also spankings with writing crops. I think they heard the chains.
The writing crop was not heard.
It was like, the kids can't know about this and it's got to be a ghost.
Jeezy Pete.
Okay, sorry.
They didn't have kids, by the way. And she got beat with the writing crop, supposedly, because he found her with another guy. Which, ultimately, didn't even happen.
Oh. Okay.
Remember?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Wow. DeFeo was taken into police custody for his own protection, but didn't stick to his mob story for very long. Within 24 hours, the surviving DeFeo had made a shocking confession. He had murdered his entire family himself.
That's story one.
No, this is actually story two. Mob hitman was story one.
Oh, that's right. That was pretty weak.
Right. Once I started, I just couldn't stop. It went so fast, DeFeo told the stunned detectives. After the murders, he admitted he took a shower, changed his clothes, and disposed of the murder weapon. With a full confession, the subsequent investigation seemed straightforward. But again, I say, how does one person kill six people with a shotgun and nobody hears anything?
Yeah, I mean,
I know the house is big and they're not all on the same floors.
It doesn't say anything about TVs were on. It doesn't say anything
it's the, 70s, so not a lot of people had TVs in their rooms.
So we could probably mark that off the list.
Yeah.
Although they appeared wealthy, I think they were actually in a lot of debt. Because that house put them in a lot of debt.
And
that's probably why. I know that Senior did have some dealings with the
mob. Yeah, so I think that is true when you see that in the movies, that he did actually hold mob money. I don't know exactly what he did with the mob.
I don't think he was anything like big with the mob.
And a lot of the stuff they had was because of the wife's parents.
They had a car lot.
Yeah, the wife's parents were actually wealthy.
So even though you have space in the house, I know when the detectives tested this, you could actually hear it outside.
You could hear it. Like, the neighbors should have heard it and reported gunshots.
But they didn't either.
They didn't hear anything.
So that's strange in itself, and I think a lot of people tie paranormal to that.
Wouldn't you?
I get that. But there can also be other reasons why they didn't hear it. I mean, it's late at night, you're in a deep sleep. If you're a neighbor outside, I could see why you wouldn't hear it. Inside, though, I can't see. You could be the deepest sleeper in the world, and you're going to hear that unless you're deaf.
Well, I mean, even here, we hear gunshots at night.
It wakes us up.
Not even a shotgun. It sounds like just little handguns.
Yeah. I mean, or firecrackers.
Well, sometimes they sound the same,
people from Perry County live down the road. But
Perry County again.
Yeah. Them women are handsome. So
that's what every woman wants to hear, is that she's handsome.
Handsome woman. But I don't understand how you could say, yes, it was one person, but when they heard the gunshots, their response was to lay on their bellies and wait for their turn. That's, when you tell me the story, that's what I think. That's what I envision.
You're going to run. You're going to hide.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I heard that, I'm going to run, I'm going to hide, or I'm going to fight, I'm going to find a way to defend myself, something.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've read, he shot the father first, correct?
I'll get to that. I think so.
Because if he shot the father first, what's the mom doing? Why isn't she reacting? Why ain't she doing something?
No, maybe it was the... I think... I'll get to it, but I could be wrong, but I think the father was shot twice, because the first time he was shot, it didn't kill him, and he moved. He started to get out of the bed, or started to move over to protect the wife or something, and he was shot twice. He was shot again.
Okay.
So he, I think, is the only one that actually moved.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though. We'll see.
Okay.
At around 3:15 a.m. on November 13th, Butch DeFeo had awoken and, for reasons that may forever remain unclear, took a .35 caliber Merlin rifle and subsequently shot all six members of his family.
So it's a magical rifle. It's Merlin. Maybe that's why.
I said Marlin, not Merlin.
You said Merlin.
I said Marlin.
So it's Marlin.
Yeah.
So it's not Merlin.
It's not King Arthur's Merlin.
Okay. I thought we had an answer. Go on.
How many...
Marlin is a fish, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
That wouldn't help.
How many shots... I mean, how many... I don't even know. Cartridges? Is that what it's called for a shotgun?
Shells.
How many does a shotgun hold?
Depends on the shotgun, but from what I understand... I mean, there's some that you can kind of load up, but I don't think they had those in the 70s, but... You know, usually you put two in, you have to click it open, two in...
Yeah, see, I don't know if it's a double barrel.
Yeah, to me, I don't know. It could be a single barrel, but that's just one shell at a time.
He would have to reload in between.
That's what it would seem like, and that's kind of, I don't know, to me, monotonous as a murder weapon if you're going to murder a bunch of people.
Maybe that's all they had in the house.
Yeah.
But even some of the detectives keen to quickly wrap up their biggest ever murder case could see there was something very wrong with this story. How had Butch shot six people in four different rooms without any of them waking up? Now, see, that's a stickler for a lot of people, but they still...
Do they say it's a shotgun?
Yeah. Well, it's a rifle, so that would be a shotgun.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a shotgun. If it's a rifle can be... It could be that you have the smaller bullets and you have the cartridge that holds several bullets.
Well, I don't know. It just says it's a .35 caliber Marlin.
Go ahead and keep going. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, I guess I should have done that. I don't know anything. I just assumed it was a shotgun because...
No, it's okay. I'm used to carrying you. Go ahead.
Wow. And how had no neighbors heard rifle blasts? So I guess it's a rifle would be as loud as a shotgun, right?
Correct. And from what I'm reading here, that it can hold multiple rounds. So maybe that's it. And I believe the shotgun, the rifle was not even his. I believe it was his father's.
Well, it more than likely was. If everyone was shot in bed, how had blood splatter got on the floor and dresser? Many had begun to feel Butch could not have acted alone. Unburnt gunshot residue on Butch's sister Dawn even indicated she might have been involved.
See, that's weird too. That's weird too, because you don't get that type of thing unless you're shooting the gun, the gunpowder.
Will fly back on you as it shot out.
Unless you're shooting somebody close range, and then they'll have gunpowder burns, not just gunpowder residue.
And I don't know, like I can't remember because it's been a little bit since I did this research. I don't remember if it was the same gun for everybody. So if that's the case, if there's more than one shooter, they all have to have the same rifle.
Oh, that'd be very monotonous too, switching between weapons, you know? I mean, if you're one person, switching between weapons is going to... I don't know. I don't know what goes through the mind of a psychopath. Seems like Ronnie DeFeo Jr. is a psychopath.
If he did this on his own. Now, the Dawn thing will come up again. Were there other gunmen in the DeFeo family deaths? I would have to say yes. At the subsequent trial, Robert DeFeo Jr. Proved to be a terrible witness. Which I'm not surprised.
Well,
because his story keeps changing.
If you can't explain to me why the other family members did not hear each one getting shot, and I think some of the kids were in rooms together.
I think the boys shared a room, but yeah. The two girls did not.
So, no, I mean, at the very least, the boys in the same room didn't hear.
No, that's the same with the mom and the dad.
Because they're all laying, unless he placed them, I guess he could have shot them and then placed them on their...
Well, that's a... argument too, because there was blood splatter on the floor, not the pillows like it should have been.
And I guess if you could think about it, if you are a deep sleeper and then you hear that and you wake up and you're trying to figure out, you're disoriented, what's going on, you may not have time to react. But that doesn't account for people down the hall in another room hearing
or
it.
Or another floor
hearing it.
They should have heard it. His story constantly changed and his erratic and strange behavior alienated him to everyone. He even threatened to kill the judge and his own lawyer. Wow. On November 21st, 1975, he was found guilty on 6 counts of second-degree murder. Not shocking. He was sentenced to 6 concurrent 25-year sentences, although he is unlikely to ever be released.
But well, he doesn't sound like he's going to be a good candidate.
For parole, yeah.
For society.
New.
I can't see what he's going to be doing. Can you imagine he's working at the fucking post office? Yeah, I got to send this package. I'm going to shoot you in your face.
Yeah, that's too many.
Right.
Yeah. I think the postal workers actually here at our post office think that of me quite often when I come in.
I'm sure.
Because I have lots of packages to mail.
Oh, yes. For shameless plug, our store on Etsy. Right? It's the Fairy's Tavern.
Fairy Tavern.
It's the Fairy Tavern. Cutie Crypties.
Cryptid Cuties. You yep. Even came up with a name and
I
you
did.
Still messed it up.
Well, whatever. I came up with it. I can change it.
I guess so. But despite the conviction, it was clear there was a serious problem with the official story. I would say so. One person couldn't have done that.
There's too many holes.
There's too many holes.
Swiss cheese. Nobody likes Swiss cheese.
I actually do, but whatever. The court had determined that DeFeo had acted alone, killing all 6 members of his family with a 35-gauge Marlin rifle. DeFeo had supposedly shot each victim as they slept, and both prosecution and defense agreed he had not used a silencer. So I guess with a rifle, you can use a silencer?
Yeah, I mean, you can. And there's ways to make them, too.
Oh, yeah, I know. You can look it up. I think they even had books, because you wouldn't have had the internet then.
And maybe that's why they didn't go with the first degree, because, obviously, I mean, the premeditation would be doing it with a silencer and planning it out that way.
This right. This seems like
if he did it, it was done out of rage.
Yeah, spur of the moment type thing.
Right. There was no thought put into it, obviously.
And then how had Butch committed the shooting alone without anyone in his family waking up? That's number one question. $1 million question. How did he do it with nobody waking up? Defense experts had conducted an experiment on the Marlin rifle and found its report was so loud that it could be heard almost a mile away.
See, that's shocking to me. That is just...
The neighbor should have heard it.
So, or otherwise, you have to bow down to that there was a supernatural component.
That silenced the entire house. Like, there was... As the house became soundproof that night.
Just so this could happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to get into the supernatural, but that might be an argument when we talk about the supernatural.
Right, yeah.
That people lend to that.
Yeah, and the next one will be more focused, I think, on the Lutz family, too.
Yeah. But you can't talk about them without talking about
this. Oh, yeah. We'll do like a little abbreviated version of this before we get into the Lutz family and the supernatural part of it.
I call them the Putz family.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... According to the autopsy and ballistic reports, each victim was shot as they were found, face down in their beds. Then how did blood splatter get on the floor?
Again, now...
And dressers.
Did they talk about... I don't know if they went into that much detail about... Did the ballistics show that they were shot through the back of the head or through the back or through the front?
I don't know. I think they were saying that they were all shot in the back.
Okay, because if he's... But then again, if he's saying that you need, you know, lay down, he's got the gun pointed at you.
But see, the thing is that by all accounts, he was crazy about his siblings. Absolutely crazy about his siblings.
I know, but right now we're just talking about how the bodies were found, the position.
I know, but I think that if they were awake... The siblings could have talked him out of killing them if he's in fact the one that killed everybody, because he really did love his siblings. So that's why I'm thinking they probably weren't awake and he wasn't making them turn over.
And there's no evidence that he staged them, like turned them over.
Well, I mean, almost, some people say yes, some people say no.
Because that could also be a shame thing, like he just couldn't look at
him. It could be, and that could be why there's blood splatter where there shouldn't be, because he moved them. And remember, it's the 70s, so forensics wasn't that great. And policing, to be fair, wasn't that great.
It's just, to me, laying on your belly face down, he couldn't... It's not so much a disrespect to that person.
It's because he can't stand to look at what he just did.
Whatever they do. Because, I mean, we have to throw that in there, too. I know he's been convicted, but it's fair to look at every side of it that... He just couldn't face what he had done.
Right.
So to not face it, I don't have to look at your face.
And I don't think that this police department had ever faced anything like this. So they would have went with the obvious answer and stuck to it, because we know they do that. Even now, they find the one thing
tunnel
they want.
Tunnel vision.
Yeah, it's tunnel vision. They focus on one person to the detriment of everything else. Even years later, when they're found wrong, they still say, no, this is who did it.
Stephen Avery. Go ahead.
Yeah, that'll be something, too. That I think, will be a good one to do. It seems none of them had been awoken by the shots, and none had put up any kind of struggle or tried to hide or flee the scene. Ken Gaworski, the former Amityville police chief, was one of the first law enforcement professionals at the scene. To this day, he finds it hard to believe Butch could have committed the shootings without any members of his family waking. Why someone wasn't able to get out of that house is beyond belief, he said.
Yeah, I keep going back.
First shotgun or first rifle blast, you're going to run out of the house. You're not even going to see who's doing it. You're just going to get out of the house. Because it was a big house, big property. There were places to hide.
And it was an older house, too, which means that there were places to hide.
There had to have been cubby holes somewhere. What made this particularly inexplainable was the locations of the six bodies strongly suggested Butch could not have committed the shootings so rapidly that nobody had time to react. In fact, Butch had fired a total of 8 ear-shredding shots, estimated to be 140 decibels each, in 4 different rooms of the sprawling house across 2 different floors. And yet, it seems he had not disturbed anyone.
So I don't even think, and I think that they even looked at this, a professional killer with a lot of practice with that same model of gun
couldn't have done it without waking somebody up.
And these people are trained.
Oh, yeah, to kill people.
Yeah, I mean, and do it in succession, very quick succession.
And to be fair, they probably, a professional killer would not have chosen the loudest means necessary to kill somebody.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That, and then to go into that big of a layout of a house with no plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just...
And you would have had to have known where each person was.
Right.
So you have to have the layout to know where everybody's at.
And you have to have a plan of where you're going. So
who's first?
It almost seemed like to me there's four bedrooms that you got to go to, right? You got.
But they said it's four rooms. Yeah.
Yeah, so it almost seemed to me like you would need four people.
At the very least. Three at the most, because I think two of the bedrooms were close together and two bedrooms had multiple people in it. So theoretically, three could do it.
But why would Ronald DeFeo then Jr. take the fall for everybody else?
Well, I don't, because the story keeps changing. I mean, you don't know. At some point, he does say that I actually did not do this alone.
Is he afraid to give up who?
I think at that point, he didn't think anybody would believe him. So that's why he just sat on it. But now, I mean, you've had so many stories, it doesn't really matter because people still don't believe you. So that's kind of where it's... He should have just told this truth from the start and not said, hey, a mob hitman did this. If you'd have came out with the original story to begin with, yeah, you still would have been over a barrel. But they might have believed the rest of your story if you'd have just been honest from the front. If you said, yeah, I killed my mom and dad, but these two killed everybody else.
It's just weird, too. They couldn't run ballistics on the gun, too, and the wounds on everybody to make sure it was all consistent. Came from the same gun.
70s. Same. And they, this is what we wanted, this is what it was going to be, so. What was the last thing I said?
You were talking about...
How it was four rooms and sprawling house across two floors. And yet it seems he had not disturbed anyone, nor did any neighbors hear the shots. I can't get over that. 112 Ocean Avenue was not an isolated property. It was surrounded quite closely to other homes. When police interviewed the residents, nobody reported hearing anything except the barking of the DeFeo family dog. Dr. Howard Adelman, Deputy Chief Medical Examiner of Suffolk County, was present at the crime scene and personally conducted the autopsies of the DeFeo family. He testified at the trial that he felt it was impossible for one person to have committed the crimes.
Yeah, that's two experts now saying that.
Well, you've got the chief of police and the medical examiner saying there's no way he did this by himself. Even if they were sleeping, the report of the weapon that was used is supposed to be so loud that it would have, so to speak, awakened the dead, he said. On the stand, he said this. And neither had any of the victims been drugged. They tested for that. Because that would have been the only, you know... sleeping medication or something to make him sleep through it. They had nothing in their symptoms. In their systems.
Well, the symptoms of the system.
Yeah.
In the system with symptoms.
Yeah. We did extensive toxicology, not only on the blood and urine, but on all the organs that we removed, and it turned up zero, that there wasn't anything in their body. Adelman explained, the idea that Butch had committed the crimes on his own was becoming increasingly unattainable.
Increasingly? Is that different than increasingly?
You... will smack you.
I just want to clarify.
Even the man who secured DeFeo's 25-to-life prison sentence for the crimes, prosecutor Gerald Sullivan, long suspected that other shooters were involved. So even you got the prosecutor... is saying there had to be more people, but because they just had him, he had to do his job.
Hmm.
I mean, he admitted to killing his mother and father, so, I mean, he had to go with it.
Yeah, but you think they'd want to find everybody responsible.
Well, how can you if other people aren't wanting to investigate it?
I know. I'm just saying that to me is not true justice.
He says, I wonder about the questions that were never answered. Did any of the victims wake up? If so, why didn't any of them defend themselves? Why were all six found face down in death? Why didn't anyone hear the shots? He wrote in his book, High Hopes in 1981. If then, as seemed likely, Butch hadn't acted alone, who helped him? Several investigators and authors have suggested Butch's oldest sister, Dawn, played some part in the shootings. And I think he later says that she helped. The first five victims were on the second floor of the home. Ronald Sr. and Mother Louise were both shot twice in the master bedroom. I was mistaken. I thought it was just the dad that was shot twice. Moving across to the other side of the house, the gunman then shot the two boys, Mark and John. Completing the second floor shootings, 13-year-old Allison was shot once in the head. That's a total of seven shots at 140 decibels each before the gunman even started to ascend the stairs to Dawn's third floor bedroom. So you got three floors that you have to cover to shoot people and nobody heard anything. I'm calling bullshit.
Well, I'm calling strange. Because even if you have multiple gun people they're shooting, the neighbors still should have heard something.
Somebody should have heard something.
So that is something that is weird, unexplained. Don't understand how that happened.
Because a dog bark is not going to cover up a gunshot.
I can explain why people in the house didn't get out there, you know, if they heard it. But I can't explain
why the people outside didn't hear it.
And why they didn't call the police.
Right. First gunshot, police should have been called. Second shot at the very least. Yet, as we have seen, she appeared to be peacefully asleep, face down in her bed, having made no attempt to escape, defend herself, or hide.
So they're saying she wouldn't even wake.
Yeah. Had Dawn, as some suspected, actually participated in the shooting herself, only to be then shot by her brother and placed in her bed. That's kind of what I think happened. Although Butch is notorious for the sheer number of contradictory stories he has told about the murder over the years, one of his more consistent accounts is indeed that Dawn took part in the killings.
And I believe it was rumored they had a little bit of a brother-sister levy tech thing.
I did not hear that.
Yes, it was in something I read, and I believe it's in the movie too. That was one of the theories and something they had talked about, was that they had a little brother-sister love.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't. Could be, I guess, but I don't know.
Or that Butch was infatuated with her.
That could be. In most versions of his story, he has claimed responsibility for the murder of his mother and father and showed little remorse for them. So he has, from day one, stuck to, I killed my mom and dad. He killed his dad because of the abuse.
Well, let's talk about that. His dad was not a very nice person, and I think that when any of the kids did something wrong, he took it out on...
Oh, he couldn't... For some reason, he couldn't stand Butch.
Yeah, he couldn't stand Ronald Buffet Jr.
Yeah.
And it was beatings with fists. It was, you know... And he took every opportunity...
To hit them, yeah.
And the mother never stopped.
Right.
And from doing so.
And that's why he killed the mother, because she didn't leave him. She allowed it to happen. Of course, he beat his wife, too. So I don't know what he expected the wife to do.
Right.
But he blamed them both for the abuse.
Yeah, and I think, too, it was also rumored that he was diddling Dawn as well. He was, you know...
The dad was molesting. Well, I mean, very well could have been. But he has often blamed Dawn for the killing of the children. After discovering what she had done, Butch says he then killed Dawn after a struggle with the rifle. Some evidence does exist to tentatively support this scenario. Dawn seems to have been killed somewhere other than her bed and placed there after her death. So she's the only one that didn't actually die in her bed. So crime scene investigators discovered that Dawn had suffered a huge head wound and that brain matter and blood was on her pillow, bedclothes, and nightgown. Hers was the only one like that. Yet her white headboard just inches from her head was pristine. So, if your head, if you got brain matter on you...
It's going to be...
It should be on your headboard, too.
It should be on the surrounding surfaces.
And I don't know for sure if it was even her brain matter or family members from where she shot them. Awesome. But there was evidence on her gown of stuff that shouldn't have been there if she was just in bed.
Sure.
Like everybody
else. Yeah, I mean, that would just lend more credence that she wasn't in bed.
The lack of blood splatter was strongly indicative that she had been shot somewhere else.
Indicative.
Yes. Blood splatter was also found on a dresser and floorboards in the house, again demonstrating the possibility at least some of the shooting had occurred away from the beds.
Okay.
So Some investigators have speculated that unburnt gunshot residue found on Dawn's body indicates she may have handled a firearm or ammunition, although the prosecution expert at the trial, Alfred Della Pena,
that's okay, it's a tie.
Yeah. Thought this could have occurred as a result of the muzzle flash when Dawn was shot. How, if she's
wouldn't
getting
it be
shot?
Burnt? Wouldn't that be burnt powder, though?
Yeah.
If it's a muzzle flash, flash tells me that it was ignited.
Right. And if it's in her head, how the hell did it get on her nightgown?
I don't, he's the expert. To me, that doesn't make sense.
Well, because we know experts don't lie on the stand.
Right. I mean, to me, that doesn't make sense.
Didn't we watch a documentary where this forensic expert, what was it, the staircase or something, I think?
Yeah.
Where he said that all this was happening, and then all of his testimony over multiple...
We should do the staircase.
Yeah. Over multiple investigations got thrown out because...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Once you're caught lying...
And one, you have to check everything, so
and,
I mean...
And, yeah, and that just... To me, throws new means to throw everybody else's convictions out.
Well, yeah, and this is also tunnel vision.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, cops do that all the time. That's
right.
The guy.
That's the guy. And she's dead, so why are we going to drag her name through?
And you know what? If he didn't do all of them, doesn't matter. We'll get him for these. And,
all right.
You know, to me, that is not justice. That's lazy investigating.
Rick Morn, amongst the first group of reports at the scene that night, the bodies were discovered, has studied the murders for more than 30 years. He is sure that Dawn was involved in some way. He cites one of Butch's strongest claims amongst many conflicting statements as evidenced. Butch has said several times that on the night of the shootings, he was watching TV in a drug-induced haze when a strange black-hooded figure came to him and handed him a rifle and urged him to commit the murders.
Stop right there. So... Again, that'll be something that may come up when we do the supernatural thing.
Possibly, but...
This also could lend to... He was doing drugs. And he had been known to do those drugs.
Oh, yeah. He was a hard drug
so
addict.
So, hallucinogens was probably in with that. Or he has a mental illness that was exacerbated by...
The drug use.
And the abuse. The abuse from his father.
This guy thinks the figure could have been Dawn.
Or it could have been Dawn playing on.
According to the reporter, Dawn was often spotted by neighbors wearing a black snorkel-style coat. So it was like a cape type thing, a cloak, which may have led a heavily stoned Butch to mistake her for a sinister figure. So like you said, she's playing on him being high. He's going to think she's not her.
And what would be her motive? They don't. It's not like they got money.
They don't really say what the motive is.
They don't have money to inherit. I think she was involved, and I think that her motive was she was being diddled
by the daddy, and wanted
and knew Butch was very close to the edge
of killing the dad anyway because of the abuse.
And you were right when you said earlier his siblings loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very good brother to his siblings.
Yeah, he took a lot of beatings to spare the siblings.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
why then kill them if you're sparing them beatings? Why then kill them? It doesn't make sense.
I think the plan that night, because I go to what makes sense, the plan that night, I believe, was what Dawn would have, was the whole family killed, but I think what she agreed upon...
Was just the parents.
But then
and then she killed the siblings, and then he killed her.
Correct.
Yeah, now, I whether, think that's what happened.
Now, whether he killed her because he was upset with her, or he killed her because he thought she was a sinister being?
No, I think he killed her because the agreement was not to kill the kids. And he just was enraged that she killed the kids, so he killed her.
Because a gaping head injury seems like a rage type.
Like he beat her before he
like
shot her.
Like, you know, like, hit her stop what you're doing.
Yeah, hit her with a shotgun, like the butt of the shotgun.
Right.
Although clearly highly anecdotal, Morin says one of his contacts at the Drug Enforcement Agency backs up the story. He told Morin that someone from the DEA actually had the house under surveillance the night of the murders due to a suspicion that Butch had been smuggling drugs in his speedboat.
So they didn't hear anything
they
either?
They didn't hear anything either. The DEA agent had supposedly observed Dawn in her black coat leaving the house with a rifle, getting into a car, and driving off in the direction that the firearm was subsequently found by the police.
Wait a minute.
Why would they not stop her and go, what the hell are you doing with a rifle?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Under surveillance, you have to be within a certain mile radius to do that. Number two, normally you're not just videotaping. You're going to have to record sound, too, in case there's something incriminating someone has said.
So they had to have the house bugged.
How the holy grilled cheese Jesus fuck are they not here?
I don't know. And then why are you going to let her leave the scene with a shotgun and not say anything? Because they had to be close enough.
What do you guys think? Does that sound legit to you? That doesn't sound legit to me. So either they let it happen.
Or they made it up.
Or they didn't hear it and it happened as it happened. But nobody can explain why nobody, not one person, not even a trained law enforcement officer, even heard it.
And why?
And seen it. And seen it because there's going to be flash.
There's going to be. Yeah, there's going to
be. When you shoot the gun, it's going to be.
Yeah, there's going to be a flash.
So.
In a dark house, you're going to see rooms light now.
I guess I'm baffled by that. I'm not baffled by the motive. I think I know what the motive was. I'm not baffled by any of that. I'm not even baffled by several killers. I think that probably happened. I'm stuck on nobody heard or seen anything that night, and you have that many gunshots going off with a high-powered rifle.
Here's another theory. If Don and Bush...
I just spit on myself. I'm excited, and I spit on myself.
Well, at least it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you.
And
my spit tastes gross. So.
Why are you tasting your spit?
I didn't have a choice. It was on my lip.
Wow. If Don and Butch plotted the murders together, could Butch's incapacity due to heavy drug use have spurred Don to commit them herself? That's another thing. If he was so high, could she...
And then frame him for it?
And then frame him.
Then why would he say, yeah, I did it?
Because he may have been so high that he legit thought he did it.
But then I only remember... Well, I guess that would... The several stories, I guess.
If the intent was always to kill the mom and dad... And you come out of your drug-induced whatever and the mom and dad are dead, you're going to think you did it. Because the intent was there, the plan was there.
But this is what doesn't make sense. He says he came home, my mom and dad are dead.
Right.
So he's going with the story that he wasn't there, or he's lying and said he wasn't there.
He's probably lying and saying he wasn't there because if he is in his room... drugged out of his head...
His room is in the attic, too, I think.
It was upstairs with Don's, yeah. I think. If... He is so out of it that he's like off in, I don't know, Neverland with everybody, that he doesn't hear anything and he comes down and sees them dead. Who's going to believe that he was so high he had no idea what was going on?
Okay, but if you were so fuzzy-minded that you committed these murders and you're not sure, then all of a sudden you're clear enough to make up a story that, well, I came home and found him and...
He's made multiple stories.
To me, that...
Well,
that,
I mean, that I guess he thought saying that I wasn't home and came home sound more believable than I was high upstairs and didn't know what was going on.
I guess. This is why you don't do drugs, people.
Exactly. And once Butch had come down, had he shot Dawn after the horror of what she had done dawned on him. So after he found out she killed everybody but the mom and dad, he could have been in a rage and killed her. On the face of it, this scenario seems far-fetched, but does it help explain many of the puzzling and intractable issues with the crime scene? And evidence from the trial indicates Dawn's mindset may have been disturbed enough to make her taking such extreme actions seem at least plausible.
What was her disturbed mindset about?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Dawn's boyfriend, William Davidge, stated to the court that Dawn was a habitual user of LSD.
Hallucinogen.
And, what is that? Mescaline.
Oh, boy.
And mescaline had recently started to...
Yeah.
Had recently started to become extremely hostile towards her parents because they had refused to allow her to live with them. The DeFeo family were, by all accounts, dysfunctional and troubled. Ronald Caesar was reported to be particularly violent, controlling, and abusive to both his wife and children, all commonly cited factors in patricide. So, that's motive for both of them.
Yeah.
Butch has given several different versions of the murders in which people other than Don were part of the conspiracy, with little or no evidence to support them, Don remains the most likely candidate for the extra shooter. It has, in the following the shooting, hours following the shooting, when police interviewed local Amityville residents, many told the detectives they felt Butch was responsible. Considering the reputation Butch had developed in the sleepy community, it was not so surprising that residents immediately felt he had committed the atrocity. Because they knew he was a habitual drug user.
Habitual
drug user. Mm-hmm. And he was already under surveillance for running drugs from his boat because they had, like, the boathouse in the back of their house.
And he could have, honestly, owed somebody some money.
Exactly. So,
You know, that's a possibility, too. I'm sure they looked over that and went with that. But
well, that's why I think he went with the mob hit first, because maybe he didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, in a way, if you think about it.
And again, he could have been so high that he thought, maybe I did do it.
It sounds like, yeah, he liked to do a little bit of the get high on your own supply type thing.
Right. Over the years, he was continually in trouble for his thuggish and erratic behavior, theft, and drug abuse. During the run up to the murders, Butch's drug taking had become particularly acute. By his own admission, he was consuming huge amounts of heroin and marijuana and drinking a bottle of scotch a day, despite already being on probation for drug crimes at the time. His violence was also spiraling out of control. At the trial, much testimony was often for Butch's temper and obsession with guns. One witness recalled how Butch had held a shotgun up to the head of a young man during a hunting party and watched stony-faced as the man turned white with fear. So maybe the gun, he had multiple guns.
Maybe.
On another occasion, Butch has held a 12-gauge shotgun up against his father's head during an argument and even pulled the trigger, which I think they actually show in the newest Amityville movie.
They did.
The shotgun fell to fire, and Ronald Sr. reportedly found religion soon afterwards.
Well, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he found religion and diapers and all kinds of stuff to keep his bowels and pee from running out of his body.
Psychologists subsequently diagnosed Butch as having an antisocial disorder, or antisocial personality disorder, displaying little or no empathy for other people. It's probably beat out of him, honestly.
Honestly, yeah.
Some speculated that Butch's many different accounts of the murders were attempts to shift blame for the deaths of his siblings to anyone but himself. Whilst Butch showed no feelings for his mother and father, he would always become agitated and upset when talking about the deaths of his brothers and little sister. If he could successfully convince others, and perhaps even himself, that someone else had killed the children, it may have helped to lessen his own guilt about the murders. Like you said. Like, if he did it and he really cared about him and he was in this drug-induced thing when he did it, he would have felt horrible guilt over it.
Sure. Sure. I mean, that's the thing, too. I mean, he's already shown signs of escalating. As for one, being the family, whoever witnessed him holding the gun to his dad's head and then pulling the trigger, nothing happened. That should have been a sign right there that, hey, you know, we need to get him some help. We need to let all this out about what's happening in this family, because
right.
obviously
but
this
they
is dysfunctional.
Wouldn't have because,
and dad just pooped.
Right. But they wouldn't have, because they wanted everybody to be thinking.
You know what I mean?
Right. But they wanted everybody thinking they had the picture-perfect little family.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you hide that and put it under the rug and nobody sees it, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, multiple homicides.
Well, I mean, they flaunted wealth they didn't have, like the paintings that they had in the house. Weren't those, like, $100,000 or more to paint each painting? I mean,
a lot of debt.
It was ridiculous. So they're gonna hide the fact that all that's going on inside the house, even though it's a barely kept secret. They're still gonna stick to that secret.
Yeah.
One of the major problems with the multiple gunmen scenario is the testimony of the prosecutor's ballistics experts, who stated that all wounds to the six victims were made with the same firearm.
Weird. Remember, I brought that up earlier.
Yeah.
That is weird. It's not like they're passing off guns.
So it's the same gun.
It is the same gun.
He could have been so high he had no idea what was going on, and Don killed everybody.
But still doesn't explain why everybody didn't wake up and try to...
I know. It doesn't. It really doesn't. A study of the wounds to the DeFeo family and the expanded cartridges found at the crime scene indicated 8 shots had been fired. All 8 shell casings were found and forensically linked to the 35 caliber Marlin rifle found by the police thrown in the dock directly behind the house. So they tried to hide the gun in the boat dock or in the boathouse in the dock or something. Although Herman Race, an experienced criminal psychologist hired by the defense, disputed this ballistic evidence, it seemed quite conclusive. But it did little to reconcile the enduring and enduring and seemingly intractable contradictions in the case. To this day, no truly satisfactory account of what happened has ever been offered. Butch is no help, seemingly lost in his own miasma of lies and delusions, and everyone else who was there is dead. All we know for sure is that 6 lives were destroyed, 7 if you count Butch, who will surely die in prison. Whatever happened that night in Amityville, the truth may forever be lost amidst fictional stories of ghosts and demons.
So what do you think, Abby?
I think he was high off his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he very well could have been the one that killed the mom and dad. And then stopped. And went back up to his room and his little drug-induced coma, I guess. And just wanted to finish out the high. Dawn could have heard what happened. Come and tuck the gun and finished it off. He comes out of it, sees what she did, goes nuts, cracks her over the head with something, and then shoots her. I don't think he did it all on his own. By all accounts, I don't think he killed his siblings.
I don't think...
Except for Dawn.
I don't think we'll ever know what happened. But the most likely scenario to me is that him and Dawn had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was for the kids not to die. It was just for the parents. They would take over everything, take care of the siblings, because obviously they wanted to save them too from the abuse.
Exactly.
And I think that was the motive for the killings, was to end the abuse.
Because I believe Butch was, he was in his early 20s.
Yeah.
So he would have gotten custody of the kids. And Dawn was 18 or 19, I think.
And I think, yeah, also had a thing for Dawn. Now, whether they had something together, I don't know. But I think he had, and it's been documented that he said he had an infatuation with Dawn. And then once he seen what happened, then he ended up killing her.
Because she killed the little sister and the brothers.
Correct.
Because that was never part of the deal.
I think the mob thing could be, but that's kind of a stretch for me. But what really, I can't close my mind to the supernatural portion of it.
Because it's just odd that nobody,
right?
Nobody heard the shots. And if the DEA is in fact watching the house, was nobody just listening that
Correct.
Night? Or were they off getting something to eat? But then they saw Dawn leave the house with a shotgun. How are you going to see her leave the house with a shotgun, get into a car, and not say, hey, what the frack are you doing?
You don't want to spill your coffee, you know what I mean? You don't want to drop your donut.
Well, I mean, if you're watching the house for a suspected drug use and stuff, and drug smuggling, why are you just going to let her walk away with a gun?
What do you guys think? I think there's a lot of questions to be answered. I think there's a lot of, I mean, put it in the comments or send us a, you know, thing on our email. I mean, we want to hear your thoughts on it. Again,
or
this
the
is,
Instagram
or
account.
The Instagram account. Yeah, I don't think this is something that, again, is going to be solved. So we got to use our noodles, put our thinking cap on.
Yeah.
Try to figure this out. But it does put your skills to the test.
It really does. It's very odd.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you for joining us. We got to pay the bills, so stay tuned for the second part, which is the Villisca Axe murders.
Thanks.